Kids can be dismissed, and as they're heading out, we do want to remind you, if you're not able to do the shoe boxes, one of the things that you can do is help out with the postage on that. So if you can talk to any one of the people that Dean mentioned, that would be great. And I just figured out a new way to get more kids or more helpers for our adult and children's ministries. I'm just going to start naming people in the congregation and guilting you into it. That's an amazing thing to do. But we do want to thank you. A couple of things I want you to be mindful of this week. One of them is we are called to be a people that vote. We are called to be a people that take responsibility for our community and our town, and it's a privilege for us to be here. And we've been saying to you and to ourselves we need to love our zip code. And so one of the things that we want to make available to you, if you're in the borough, there's a final report of the proposal of Home Rule Charter. That's on the very back table there. Take a copy of it. Read it. Don't listen to all just the snippets of stuff you're hearing. It's a great opportunity for us to move forward as a community, so I just want to encourage you to take that. I'd ask that you could pray for Brian Folkman. He's our trooper of the week, that God would watch over him and keep him and his family. That would be an amazing thing. One of the things I found out this week, our denomination in our district has surveys of all the different zip codes within, really all around the United States, and one of the interesting if you want to call it a statistic or a fact of living in our zip code 16125, 68% of our population has no relationship with any community of faith or any faith connection. And to me, that was just an astounding number, that almost three quarters of our community hasn't heard the gospel in a way that makes sense. And he has put us here for that purpose. And so if you could begin to pray for our community, that God would step in and do a great and amazing thing, that would be awesome. Also want to remind you, after the Lord's Supper, it's available every single week, but if you would like to have prayer with an elder, they're going to be available here for healing or hope or simply encouragement. But let's go before God right now. Father, we have just spent some time worshiping you and declaring your glory. And one of the things that struck me in one of those songs is it says that we can see your love, we can see your grace, and we can see your mercy. And Father, as I was sitting there, as I was thinking that there are those in our congregation right now in the midst of their lives, they need to hear that you know their name. They need to hear that according to Isaiah 49, our names are written on the palms of your hands. That is how close we are. They need to hear that the Word of God says that you think about us more than we can even count or number. So, Father, right now, I ask that you would be the Good Shepherd, and you know each one of us as sheep. By the power of your Holy Spirit, would you minister to us afresh and anew this morning? For those who've walked through these doors that need to know that someone knows, that someone notices, that there is a God who knows their names, would you minister and whisper in their thoughts and in their hearts right now that they are valued and loved and cared for? And Father, some of us this last week, it has felt like the wheels were coming off our wagon, and we just come before you and we ask that you would restore those wheels. There's some that need some healing right now physically, and in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, I ask that you would do that mighty work of physical healing. Whatever it may be, you are still the great physician, and you are still trustworthy, and you are still good. And I simply ask that right now you would minister your healing hand. There are those who need just a touch of heart. They've been struggling with the cloudiness and the grayness and all that is going on. And I ask in the name of Christ that you would be our light even this morning. There's some that walk through these doors and relationally it's a mess. And we recognize it and we feel as if there's no way to deal with all the stuff that's going on. But Father, you said if we'll come before you and cry out that you'll minister to us. You'll let our righteousness shine. You'll bring healing to our hearts. You'll bring restoration to our homes. Lord, you said you'll bring us into safe pastures and still waters. And Father, I ask right now that you would do that mighty work, that you would show yourself to be powerful for your people. Lord, we come and we lift up this community, and we count it a privilege to be in Greenville, and we want to be a people that loves our zip code more and more. So would you be with our community as we vote on our commissioners and we vote on home rule and all the different issues that are going to be on that ballot? Would you give us the courage to go? So at least if we go and vote, whatever we vote, we at least then have a right to complain. But to sit back and do nothing is just not what we want to do as a people. You've called us to care for this community. You've called us to be ministers in the midst of it. It only begins when we tangibly make an effort to be involved in our community in a real way. And this Tuesday is a great opportunity, Lord. So would you minister to us? Would you enable us to set aside the time and show up and be there? And Father, we just thank you for this community, but we're asking for those 68% of our community that has never heard the gospel in a way that makes sense, has never been a part of a community of faith that is loving and kind and generous and not judgmental. And Father, would you just begin to work in great and amazing ways? Would you bring the spiritual awakening we've been praying for? And Father, even though we don't feel comfortable with asking to be involved, we ask to be involved. That we would live in such a way that people would notice Jesus in us and on us. And we don't pray that just for our church, but all your churches that are preaching your word today, would you just overflow in our hearts? Father, I thank you for how you're going to work. Be with Brian Folkman today. Strengthen him and encourage him. He's on midnights right now, I believe. I ask that you would just go ahead of him, keep him safe, and Lord, let him sense your strength. And as he deals with difficult circumstance and pretty awful things, I know as I talked to the barracks commander, they just asked that we would pray for this last week when that young man was murdered by his own father. Father, they have just said that this is dealing with evil, and they recognize that, and Lord, they see that so often. But Father, I ask that you would allow your glory to balance that out, that that is not the only thing that they see, the brokenness of humanity. Would you allow them to see your goodness and grace? Would you remind them that day in and day out there are people that stand with them and for them and pray for them and want to encourage them? And Lord, for all of our first responders and COs, would you just work powerfully? And we thank you for all that you're going to do. Father, we come before you right now, and we're asking that you would just move mightily, that you would help us to be still and know that you are God. That we would be a people that, as we worship you this morning, I believe that you spoke to us and you ministered to our hearts and you restored the brokenness and brought some wholeness to us as just simply a reminder of who you are. Would you lead us and direct us now? Father, I come, and this is the part of the service where we get to give back to you. And Lord, we are told every single day that the economy is getting better, or we're told that it's getting worse, but Lord, for followers of Christ, you have said that we can rest in you and that you will provide for us. And so we ask that you would give us generous hearts, knowing that we can't outgive you. And your word says, very simply, that you will throw open the floodgates of heaven. And Lord, you take care of us, and we want to revel in that truth. And Lord, would you just guide us right now? Would you minister to our hearts? Would you strengthen us and encourage us? Would you allow us to worship you even still as we give? And Father, we just thank you for all that you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
There was a chasm here in between me and you. Heaven and earth torn in two. Pulled by the weight of the sin in us. There was a father. Longing to love what he made, calling us home by our name, bound by the weight of his word for us. In surrender I come, to my knees I will fall down, with my heart. Then came a Savior, paying the price for our shame, bearing the burden and pain, held by the weight of his love for us. In surrender I come, to my knees I will fall down, with my heart and a soul.
you have your Bibles with you, if you could turn to Psalm 37, that would be great. This is part two of that series that we've been talking about. If you're involved with Mission 119, you should be beginning the 40th week, and I just want to encourage you to continue to do that. If you haven't started, again, I'm just going to ask you, look it up online. It's a free, it's really Old Testament, New Testament survey, a great theology, but amazing teaching. But this is what the Word of God says has to say to us today. It says, "Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong, for like the grass they will soon wither, like green plants they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Don't fret when evil men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger, turn from wrath. Do not fret, it only leads to evil. For evil men will be cut off, but those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land." And then over to verse 34, "Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, and you will see it." Let's ask the Lord to open our hearts today. Father, we come before you, and for these next few moments, Lord, I've just been asking that you would minister to our souls, that you would remind us of truth, that you would capture our imagination. And Lord, I've been praying this week that I would become less and you would become more, and the meditations of my heart would make you smile. But Lord, most of all, we want to know how to live with your wisdom and discernment in every situation that we face. So, Father, would you join us now? You have already been here, but we just need to recognize once again that your presence is with us, that you never leave us nor forsake us, that the Word of God says when we are in your name, you're there. So, Father, would you speak to our hearts again in Jesus' name? Amen. If you remember last week, one of the things I asked you to do as you were starting the new week, that you would do these three steps, and we're going to go through another three steps pretty quick this morning, but I'm doing it on purpose today. But I ended with the idea that when the wheels come off your wagon, when situations and circumstances become overwhelming, when you look about and you see evil seemingly winning at all corners, you're not to fret, you're not to get anxious, you're not to get overwhelmed. You're literally called to stop and trust and know who God is. In fact, I told you the idea here is that we're to delight in him because we know and understand the rest of his attributes, that he has said he's never going to leave us nor forsake us, that he's very much aware of what we're facing, that he is the God who is trustworthy. And one of the things that I said I was hoping you remembered this week, that you as followers of Christ are literally in the midst of the Trinity of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I had Bob and Brian and Matt come up and stand in the triangle. They were the Father and Son and Holy Spirit. At least they represented them well. And I talked to you about most believers have this image that they're sort of hovering outside of that. Yet Scripture says, for a follower of Christ, you're not hovering outside. You're literally standing in the center, in that fellowship, in that place of joy, in that place of concern. And yet so often we lose sight of that truth. That's one of the reasons why we can delight in the circumstances that we face sometimes. But it goes a little bit farther than that. And if you'll look at verse 5, you'll find the fourth step here. It says, "Commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun." If you were to literally look at the scriptures, it means that we are to be a people that we commit our ways. It means to roll one's way into God's, to literally dislodge the burden that you have been carrying on your own shoulders and giving it to God. The scriptures say that we are to cast our cares upon him. And why does it say that? Because he wants to ignore you? Because he just is hard-hearted and tough? It's not at all. The scripture says, cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Because he knows you, because he longs to redeem you and rescue you. And as I was thinking about this idea this last week, it just sort of struck me. One of the things that I'm always fascinated with is veterinarians. Any of you guys ever take an animal to a veterinarian? Man, you are like a lucky congregation, only a few of you. I can remember a number of years ago, Winnie, who was one of our favorite dogs. It was a $10, no-cost dog. And I can remember after the third weekend, once it had gone to the emergency room and sat in Ohio, it became an $1,100 dog really, really quick. But I can remember when we took the dog in, and this little puppy looked like it was death warmed over. Its eyes were sunken in. Its chest was sunken in. And it just amazed me because the vet came in and said, "Hi, little puppy, how are you? What did you eat? Do you feel really, really, really bad? Is your tummy upset?" Now, how many of you have ever seen a vet do that? See, a vet doesn't do any of that stuff. A vet, what's amazing about a vet is because a vet will come in and he looks at that dog and he feels that stomach and he touches all sorts of things, but the dog doesn't ever respond. The dog doesn't ever answer the question. He may look at you like he did with us and said, "What happened?" We don't know. That's why we're paying you. I mean, sometimes we treat God like that. But that's not the way God is. He's not like a veterinarian. He is literally like a doctor. And if you go to a really good doctor, one of the things that will take place is that you walk into that office, and every doctor I've ever gone to, you're walking into that office, you're sitting at that chair, the doctor walks in and says, "What are you here for?" And the conversation begins. How long have you been sick? What does it look like? For me, because it's sinus stuff, is your snot green? I mean, that's one of the things they always ask. They're concerned about my well-being. I mean, just imagine, and I was told by someone not to use this example because there's lots of young kids in the audience and they won't do this. I said, next time you go to your doctor, pretend he's a vet, just sit in the room and don't say anything. When the doctor says, "How are you?" just look at him. When the doctor says, "How do you feel?" just look at him, don't say a thing. When he pokes and prods, don't give him any clue while you're here, while you're there. See, I think a lot of us treat God just like that. A lot of us, even as I'm saying that we have a God that's steadfast and fine, there are those of you sitting here this morning that are saying, "Why should I let him know? Isn't he God?" It's the same thing as walking into your doctor and saying, "Why should I let the doctor know what's going on? He has this degree. He has this knowledge. He has this understanding. Let him figure it out." But that's not what the scripture says. It literally says, commit yourself to God. Commit your way to the Lord. Do you recognize that when, as followers of Christ, we have a relationship with God? He longs to know us. He longs for us to speak to him. He longs for us to share what's going on in our hearts, in our minds, in our lives. Not because he doesn't know. He can know those things. But because he enjoys our company. He enjoys that conversation. Jesus literally has given us a friend request long before NBC started that show. Do you recognize that you have a God that longs to hear what's going on in your life? And so often we lose sight of that truth. You and I, as parents or grandparents, one of the things that we do with our children on a regular basis is we ask what's going on. We ask how their day was. We say, "Did you learn anything in school today?" Or, "What are your dreams?" Or, "What are your ambitions?" Do you realize the psalmist, King David, is saying the same to us? That we have a God that longs for us to have that conversation with him. And I just wanted to ask you, honestly, when was the last time you presented yourself or your situation before God? When was the last time you brought your concerns or your brokenness or your heartache or your marriage or your children into the throne room of God? And I would just challenge you this week, do it out loud. You can do it in your mind, but just take the time. "Father, this is where I am at, and this is the situation I'm facing, and I'm not sure what to do." And it says here, if we will commit our ways to the Lord and trust in him, he will do this. It literally says that he will step in, he will provide a path, he will lift you up and hold you up. So when was the last time you brought your case before the throne of God? Really. Not just in your imagination, but literally get a pad of paper, write it down in your journal. Have that conversation as you're driving to work in the morning. People will just think you're talking on your cell phone. But what if you literally began to take God's word seriously? So the fifth step of living in difficult circumstances literally is to commit your way to the Lord and trust in him, because he is a God who longs to step into your circumstance and situations. And then step five is in verse 7, it says, "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes." So what's going on there? The word of God is literally saying we are to be a people that learn to be still. As I was researching and praying through the sermon this last week, I came across a quote by Pascal that said this: "The basic thing that is wrong with the world is that men do not know how to stay quiet in their own rooms." And it struck me, isn't that the truth? Because of the busyness of our lives, because of technology, because of the sense of always having to have more or deal with more or juggle all those plates, we're not a people that learn to be still. And in fact, for most of us, it makes us really, really uncomfortable for that to even take place nowadays. We always have to have some sort of noise in the background, don't we? But the scripture says as we're walking through life and the wheels of our wagons are coming off, there comes a place where you need to commit your way, then you need to be still before the Lord and wait on him. And I think because he wants us to learn what it is to listen and hear. And as I was thinking about that, when is the few times that we're ever going to be still? And since it's hunting season, and I know a majority of you do it, and how many of you have ever sat in a deer stand? Wow, more people have sat in a deer stand than gone to the vet. That's pretty good. But deer stands are amazing, and it may sound strange to you, but I will challenge you this week, if you know someone who has one, even if you're not going to hunt, go sit in one for a while, because when you sit in a deer stand, I mean, you get up early in the morning, it's dark out, you wander through the woods, you finally get in your stand, you sit there, and I can remember when I first started hunting, it would be like 2 hours before there was light. You know, I almost got up at midnight to leave, you know, that I was just so excited to get in the woods. But then you sit, and you have to be quiet. You ever done that before? And it is amazing. As you sit and be quiet, the first thing you realize is the light that begins to come up, that every squirrel sounds like an 8-point buck when they're running through the woods. It's true. But the other thing that you begin to notice is that, and I've seen it, and almost every year I'm fascinated, when you're just still and you're sitting in that tree stand and the light is coming up, and you'll notice mice and voles and chipmunks and turkeys and does, and you'll see insects and birds that you've never ever seen before. But the fact of the matter is, if you were walking through the woods on any given day, you wouldn't see any of that stuff. But when you stop and are still, you begin to see and hear a whole community of animals, bugs, and movement. That's always there, but you just don't ever notice it because you're not still and quiet. See, I think one of the reasons why the Lord says, I need you to commit yourself to me, but then I need you to learn to be still, is because he wants to teach us how to listen and hear. And see, one of the things I truly think that we haven't talked about enough in the body of Christ is we have this tendency to believe that God only talks through his word, but the scriptures over and over and over and over again tell us that God speaks to us in that inner voice, in our thoughts, in our conscience, if we will be still enough to notice it. And if we do that, as we wait, we will see how God is at work in each situation. And sometimes you and I need to come to that place where we recognize, even within our own selves, that we are not sovereign or infallible or God himself. We need to be still and wait and notice that we are the sheep and he is the shepherd. So this week, if you're at a place where you can do nothing else, just be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him and recognize that we don't even need to fear in the midst of that, because our God is at work. And then he takes another step, step six. In the midst of all of those circumstances and situations, because God knows, and King David knew, that when you're in the midst of an awful time and the wheels are coming off the wagon and things that you can't control are coming at you faster than you can ever imagine, he says, refrain from anger. He almost goes back to the beginning of that verse, don't fret because of evil men, but literally, refrain from anger and turn from wrath, because it never leads to a good place. And honestly, I think sometimes as people we have this idea that when we get angry, we all, have you ever noticed you always have righteous anger? It's always good anger. Those people need to be exposed to that. You're like Superman. The Justice League is there. But the fact of the matter is, and I think within your own hearts and within my own hearts, oftentimes when I am angry, it's not for some righteous or justice cause. It's because I'm not getting my own way. And so Jesus says the next step is, you're walking with me in the most difficult times, refrain from anger. Do you realize that as followers of Christ, we have other options? We have other choices. We have other avenues to walk down. And the fact of the matter is, you and I as followers of Christ can literally come to that place where we can be settled in our hearts and our minds and our lives because we understand and we are learning to trust in God. And see, I think sometimes we lose sight of that truth. Sometimes we forget that God's purpose is to make us more and more like Jesus. And trusting in Him is something that you learn moment by moment and day by day. And then run over to verse 34, and it says this: wait for the Lord and keep His way, and He will extend to you, excuse me, He will exalt you to inherit the land, and the wicked will be cut off, and you will see it. It literally says here, as you're putting these six steps into practice, there will come a time where you need to wait, and you just simply need to keep doing the right things that you know God has called you to do. Continue to do what's right. And I was telling the first service a number of years ago, I was counseling a guy who had his divorce. It was nothing that he had literally done. I can remember one of the most dumbfounding moments in ministry. I was talking to his wife, and I said, why on earth would you want to make this choice and go your own way and do your own thing? And she said, honestly, and I said, yeah, honestly, tell me why. Well, he said, he is a good provider. He is a good man. He loves my children. He has always taken care of me. I just want to try something else. And I can remember talking to him and just saying, you know what, in the midst of this and in the midst of your children, just be right. Respond right. It's not fair. It's not good. But try to be godly in the midst of it. And I can still remember about 2 years after the fact, his daughter came to him and said, Dad, I just want you to know one of the things that I noticed is that you kept doing right things in spite of all that went on around you. And it spoke to her in the midst of that storm that her dad just wasn't a Christian in title. He actually lived it out moment by moment. So it says in this passage that you and I, we need to wait on the Lord and just keep doing the right things we know that are right and good and holy in the midst of the circumstances. And it literally says, you know, don't worry about others. Just monitor your own self. Keep looking ahead for the promises of God, because He says in the midst of the worst of the storms, God has a future for us. And it may not seem good, but it will be good as we patiently walk according to His ways. So one of the things I wanted to do before the Lord's Supper today, I wanted us to be a people that not only practice or know about what we're supposed to do when the wheels start to come off, but I'm assuming some of you here, the wheels seem like they're going to come off. And if they're not, there will be a time when they start. And so I wanted to take the next 4 or 5 minutes, and I just wanted to be quiet and ask you to be quiet and sort of walk through those steps. Do you find yourself in a place where it seems like fretting is the natural way to go? Will you stop and don't fret and trust and delight and commit your way and be still and listen and confess your anger if that's where you're at, and ask the Lord to forgive you, but also ask Him to relieve you of that attitude? Will you decide this morning to do what's right in spite of what the circumstance may call in a worldly sense? And will you wait on Him to lift you up? Because as I read through that psalm, King David and the Holy Spirit is showing us how to live in the midst of a difficult time, to know how to live the Savior's way, that you will find rest and restoration. So for the next few minutes, I'm going to be quiet. We're all going to be quiet and just come before God and lift those situations into His presence and see if the Lord doesn't speak to you today and do exactly what His word has promised. Let's pray. Father, I believe Your Holy Spirit is at work within us right now. And You know all of us who have walked through this door, and we may not be losing the wheels on our wagons right now, but You know there is going to be a day when it feels as if You've forsaken us. It feels as if we can't breathe because we're trying to juggle so many different things. It feels as if we're not in control. And Lord, I'm asking for these next few moments that You would give us the courage to walk through these 7 steps before we take the Lord's Supper, that we may come with an attitude of peace and reflection. In Christ's name, amen.